I'm now going to read scripture after I adjust this mic. We're starting with 1 Corinthians 2:13 to 16. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Colossians 2:6-7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Not a problem.
Yeah. Heard a story this week. Thought it was kind of funny. Thought it was worth sharing. Guy was out for a walk, and as he was on his walk, he got bit by a dog. So he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, I've got some bad news for you. He said, you've got rabies. The guy says, oh, no. So he pulls out this piece of paper and pen. He starts writing down things, and the doctor says, you don't need to do a will. He said, we have vaccinations for those. He said, you'll be all right. And he said, no, this is a list of people I'm going to bite. So I thought about when they were singing that song, Burn in Me. What if the Holy Spirit got a hold of each and every one of us to where he literally set a fire inside of us? Not the question is what could we do, but the question would be is what could we not do? The Christian life is a life that's lived on a spiritual plane. It's not lived on a physical plane. It's not lived on an emotional plane. It's lived on a spiritual plane. And that's foreign to a lot of people. I'm going to tell you, it's foreign to a lot of Christians, of living on a spiritual plane, because we get so used to what we see, what we feel, what we smell, what we touch, that we forget that we are made in the spiritual image of a God who created us. In his Spirit to do his work. He gave us a body to do that work, to walk around and to minister to people. But that Spirit that burns is within our hearts, and we seem to think that so many times things are going well in our lives and then something comes along that affects us. The child has an issue in school. Maybe it's an issue with drugs. You never know. It could be an auto accident. It could be anything. We get the medical report, and it's not what we expected. I've gotten some of them. Not what I expected. But I've gotten a lot more than it was what I've expected, because I've started expecting good things. And I've started getting good reports. may be a major crisis in our lives, and what do we do about it? And when that major crisis comes, we need to have the inner assurance that that spiritual plane that we're living on, that we are secure and we're not going to fall off. That He's going to maintain us, He's going to keep us, watch over us. That still small voice that assures us, that comforts us. We've all faced things in our lives. Tough times that have come along. I've shared with you some of mine. You shared with me some of yours. And when they come, all we can do is say, Lord, help me. I can't do this on my own. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. I remember receiving a call about my son, and all I could do was walk around, think, why? And that voice said, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. And had I not had that presence, or had you not had that presence in your life when we face something difficult, where do we go? Sometimes there's nowhere to go but to the Lord. And sometimes He's the only one that can provide us any help. His Spirit can fill any void in our lives. Those aren't scenes that we necessarily want to experience in our lives, but we will, and we need to be prepared. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, but the natural, unbelieving man does not accept the things, that is, the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, absurd and illogical to him. And he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. And he is unqualified to discuss spiritual matters. To live on that plane means that we have to accept a couple things. Number one, God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he goes on to say that there's no other way to the Father except through me. And then we have to understand that we're saved through faith. It's not what we do. It's not all the doors we knock on. It's not all the money we give. It's not all the stuff we do. But it's simply, Lord, I believe. That's the way we receive the Holy Spirit. It's, Lord, I believe. I received, I'll share that a little bit later maybe. Paul told the Colossians, he says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. When we receive Jesus, we receive His Holy Spirit. There's no other way about it. No other way around it. It's the Spirit that gives us life. And there are far more Christians living in the world than there are Spirit-filled Christians doing the work of the church and doing the work of God. And you say, well, what do you mean? And I mean, we accept Jesus, we become a Christian, His Holy Spirit comes into us, and sometimes we just don't do anything. We're glad to be there. We're glad to be a Christian. But He's saying there's more to it than that. The infilling, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit It's what he has called us to use and to do. And so we should look at every day as a gift from God. Every day as an opportunity. And when I was praying and the Lord kind of showed me this, it says, not everything that happens to us is his will. People get into automobile accidents. It's not God's will for you. Reeve, it wasn't God's will for somebody to pull out and hit you. It really wasn't. It's not God's will for us to suffer catastrophes and suffer things in our lives. Two families need furniture. That's not God's will. But what he can do through that is that he can help us to understand adversity and help us to live a life that is in accord with him. So that's why we ask the question, is the infilling of the Holy Spirit so needed, so necessary? Is it really a big deal? And I choose to say that it is a big deal. Rather than be upset about everything that comes along that we don't like, I think we probably ought to take the word accident out of our vocabulary. But rather than being upset about everything, we should say, God, how are you going to work through this situation for my betterment? And if we don't look at it that way, because we believe that he wants the very best for us. So if we can't face adversity and say, God, let me grow through this, show me something through this, then the next time something comes along, we're going to be in the same situation that we were before. We haven't grown. We haven't learned. If you're a Christian and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, then it's settled. Someone wrote, and I wish I'd have written down who it was, but it said, a Christian can live their life without having the Holy Spirit in control of their life. If we allow him to control, then we have joy, peace, surrender, calmness, all the fruits of the Spirit that he promised to us. So how do we do that? How does that happen? How can it occur? I think there's really four simple things that bring us to that place. And the first one is said, we're to be filled with the Spirit. He says that in Ephesians 5:18. Interesting about the Greek language, and I'm certainly no Greek scholar, but I do remember from college that Greek language is written in moods. And the mood here, that it's like an active mood. It's not something that happened, but it's something that happens. We are filled with the Spirit all the time. It's not, I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 1967, or whenever it was, and that was it. It's an active term that means it's continuous. What Paul is saying in Ephesians 5:18, he's saying, be filled, is something he's saying to the entire church. He's not saying to certain individuals, but he's saying to the church in Ephesus, be filled. But we cannot be filled. And I talked to somebody, and I'm going to share this with you. This week, and it's not in part of my notes, and I really don't know how to go about it. I received a phone call. I'll put it that way, the best way to do it. And this was someone that was wanting me to do something. And I told him I wouldn't do it. Because it something I don't do. Something I'm not going to do. And so I listened to quite a bit of insult over it, telling me that I'm not spirit-filled. Telling me I'm not their pastor anymore because I wouldn't do something for them. Telling me how full of unforgiveness I am. Passing judgment on me for something that I wouldn't do. And I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute. If we are filled with the Spirit, as that individual said, I've been reading my Bible from three different versions, and I applaud him for that. Don't sit there and stand in judgment of me. Because I'm not standing in judgment of you. I disagree with you, but I'm not judging you. And so when I look at those things and I think, my goodness. Years ago, I could have really laid that individual out. But I didn't. I just simply said, I do not like the accusations that you're making. And they're false. Well, I'm going to start calling people in that church and tell them what you're like. I said, I would encourage you to do that. Because maybe you know me better than they know me. But all I could find in that whole thing was peace. Three voicemails. Fortunately, my voicemail cuts off at 5 minutes. Then I called them, tried to talk to them, and got disconnected. I was on a cell phone. I got disconnected. So they probably thought I hung up on them, and I really didn't. But I say that to say this, that had God not been showing me what to say, there were a lot of things I would have rather said. I'll be honest with you. But that's not what he expected. It's different when we're filled with the Spirit. There are different things that happen. And so part of that ongoing active mood of the Greek language saying, be filled. Filled me Thursday when I was listening to those phone calls. I'm thankful I have Bluetooth in the truck, and when the phone numbers pop up, I can just hit end. But what happens when we're filled with the Spirit? We speak different. We want to know more about other people. We want to know what's happening in their lives. It was kind of the thing that was brought out this morning in class. It's not all about us anymore. But it's about someone else. I sat down in class this morning and told them I needed a sermon. And they'd been gone and I haven't done anything for a week. That's not true. But it's not about me, and it's not trying to find out more about me, it's trying to find out more about other people. One of the things that's kind of interesting is, along with that, is trying to live in harmony with other people and be in harmony in relationships with others and understand that I may disagree with you. When we lived in Westchester, we had a friend that lived across the street. Dave's a liberal. Larry's fairly conservative. And so we go to lunch. We're good friends. We used to play golf together. We're good friends. And he said, "You see that thing I put on Facebook the other day?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I thought I'd get you." And I said, "Dave, no big deal." But we can do that. because there's a friendship there that will outlast politics. So we want to live in harmony with people. His infilling makes us grateful. Unhappy people distance themselves from the presence of the Holy Spirit. I would be willing to say, if I didn't know better, that that person on the other end of the phone this week was probably an unhappy person. Yeah, Roger, yeah, probably more than just unhappy. Because you want the best for people. Paul said we should be happy in any state that we're in. Life isn't always a bowl of cherries. I love Irma Bombeck's book. If life, what was it, life were a bowl of cherries, why am I always in the pits? I think she wrote that book years ago, but it's, you know, it's a good question. And we've shared this before, but we have to be, in a spirit-filled life, submissive to one another. That we accept other people, that we accept what they want, that we want to serve with them. I'm thankful that Bruce and Donna have taken initiative on this car and motorcycle show. Walt told me this morning he has 6 people bringing motorcycles. And Walt said, plus his old self. But, we can do things like that, and we can, and we can serve and sign up sheets and things like that, and because we want the best for everyone else. It's not all about me anymore. A spirit-filled woman is submissive to her husband. Spirit-filled husband, submissive to his wife. Okay, now that you've looked at each other. Spirit-filled children are obedient, submissive to their parents. Don't always want to be, maybe. There was times I know I didn't want to be. Parents are loving and respectful to their children, teaching them, nurturing them, helping them find the faith. Without a raise of hands, how many parents have ever told their children, just because I said so? Let me tell you, that's weak. At best, that's a weak. But as we think of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we ask ourselves, what do we want if he's going to do this, if he's going to fill us with this? Well, we want to be free of wondering if he's present. If he's present, we know he's there. But we need to keep him active. How do we keep the Spirit active? Well, number one, we're open to what he tells us to do. We're open to what he leads us to do. I was listening this week to, I think it was Joel Osteen on the radio, and he was talking about someone that he was going through a grocery store line, and everybody was walking out of the grocery store in this one particular line because this clerk was in a foul mood. And she handed someone their receipt, and he said he just wadded it up and dropped it. And he said he finally got up to her, and he said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Why do you ask?" He says, "Well, I'm a pastor." And he said, "I just sensed that there was something wrong." I could sense that. And she said, "My daughter's in the hospital. And my husband and I aren't getting along." And he said, "Well, can I pray for you?" He said, "They're in line with people behind us. I prayed for them." Tough to do, folks. But when the Holy Spirit will burn in me and burn in us, that's when we do those things. So there's 4 questions in closing that we just need to ask ourselves, I believe. Have we shifted our lives from first gear to second and to third? I think about that every time I drive my 6-speed Jeep. Am I really doing everything that I ought to be doing? Can you easily forget something that you've done that broke fellowship with God? Or does it keep cropping up? He doesn't care. He's already forgiven you. Do we count on the Lord for everything, or we're still trying to balance sitting on the so-called fence? But do we trust Him for everything? We're still trying to do things on our own. And have I allowed Him total control of my life? Is the Spirit's filling a big deal? It is if you want to live in joy and peace. And I thought about the words of this song. It was when we sang not too long ago, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for that Spirit. And Lord, please let each and every one of us open our hearts and say, fall fresh on me, burn in me. Create in me a life that says, Lord, what else do you want me to do? Because I want to do it in your name. In His name we pray. Amen. We've got a time that now on our, in our bulletin, we're going to receive new members. And I've talked to several. If you're ready to join, come on up. I have got, we have a problem with our printer. It didn't print out. They've had to order a part. So I'll have a certificate coming for you. But I met Walt under some stressful circumstances for Walt. I got called by, I think it was Dan or Gayla down here, Walt's wife June passed away, and asked me if I would do the service. And as I always said to them, when I can, I certainly will. But I, in doing that, I do not use that term funeral. I use the term celebration of life. And June was 72, and her last few years were not the best, but Walt was her caregiver, and so when she passed away, they called and had an opportunity to sit down with Walt, and when we were talking in his home, he said, I need to get back into church, and I wish it was that easy with everybody. When you talk to him, say, I wish I need to get back into church, but we were thankful. Walt was going to join the Tin Can Sailors group, and then he went back to work after he retired, so like most of us. And so he's working Thursdays. But anyway, in case you haven't met Walt, this is Walt Holbrook. And we met and talked, had lunch, and he showed me his motorcycles. Did you sell your other one? Anybody need a motorcycle? Walt has one for sale. With a slightly dented tank. I would take it home, but I've been charged with selling my Jeep. So I can't buy anything till I sell something. But like Bruce said, bring her out. Show her his menagerie of vehicles. But anyway, aside from that, we talked and he expressed some interest in joining the church. So that's what he wants to do today. And so I am thankful for it. And I was when we were talking, there's like three things. There's a book of discipline that like this thick that I can't understand. And I've asked Phil to interpret it, and that hasn't helped. So, three things that are important to me, and it's important to, I think, every individual. Number one, are you born again? Do you believe that Jesus has forgiven you? Number two is, when you're in town, will you be here?
Oh, yeah.
And number three, will you financially support the church? And that's the only thing that's really important, is where is our heart? And so, Walt, This is not overly formal because I'm not overly formal, but I welcome you into our fellowship. We are glad to have you. Catch Walt we'll grab a donut and a cup of coffee and say hi to him afterwards, but just let him know that you're glad that he's here because we sure appreciate him.
Welcome home, Walt.
Thanks, Walt. Thank you. Thank you, Walt. I once knew a pastor that always had people join church before they took the offering up, but that wasn't my intention. But if the ushers would please come forward. I didn't plan it that way, although we do plan services. Father, we ask you to bless the giver more bountiful than you get than you bless the gift. In Jesus' name, amen.